This is the Press Conference Podcast, episode 71. My name's Dave, and I'm here with Phil. We're back.
We're back. It's been, how long's it been? Like a month, maybe? A bit longer? It's been a while, but yeah, it's good to be back behind the mic.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a break. I think we both needed it after kind of the start of the year that we've had, and then like running straight into New Bloom Fest, which was, yeah, a month ago this week. So it's been good to have a bit of a quiet time.
Yeah, it's actually wild. I'm just looking at the episodes we've had come out. Because we'd recorded the Towns episode before we went to New Bloom.
Yep.
So really we hadn't recorded since New Bloom, which is pretty much a month today. I think actually by the time this episode comes out, it'll be 1 month since the New Bloom episode. So we nearly caught it a day.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be candid about it. We nearly were like, that's it.
Yeah. It's been an interesting grind, I think you could say. We're really grateful for everything that we've been able to do and achieve on the show, but we were just kind of, the grind was getting to us a little bit.
I think it's really funny. I mean, when we set this out, we didn't have expectations on, I guess, what we wanted. We just wanted to obviously do something that was a little bit different in the grand scheme of, you know, we're already niche in regards to the scene we talk about. But we did want to, I guess, bring a different angle to it. I think we've done that. And I think we'll continue to do that based on whatever we do with the future of this.
Yep.
But I think, we were hustling. We were, the work is a lot. And look, we always talk about, we're just a podcast. You know, we talk to these bands that really actually put in some hard work. But I think, you know, when you factor in what's happening in everyone's life, what's happening in the world, it just was getting to us, I think. And then when you factor in other shit around it as well, it was just really kind of, I guess, I don't know. It just was weighing on me. Weighing on you too, I think.
Yeah, of course. I personally was just getting spread really thin by things in work, things outside of work, life, the pod, like everything was just kind of, wearing me thin. And so I've made some changes in my life and really feeling better and refreshed after the last kind of 3.5-4 weeks off.
I think as well, I mean, we're in very different stages of both of our lives, like separately. Like you got two kids, you're in a family. I don't have kids, really focused on my career and obviously moving to Sydney through lockdown. I found my feet, but I probably haven't recovered or adjusted to, you know, what my lifestyle is and things like that. For better or worse, I fucking couldn't tell you right now. And so I think just all of that. And then when you factor in all the gigs we go to, I definitely don't know how to slow down. I think it just, has been a bit much. So this month off has been good. I think the future of the pod might look a little bit different. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think we can maintain the weekly release schedule that we were pushing to have. So we might go to a fortnightly back to when we started, just to kind of focus on each episode a lot more than what we, I guess, maybe were. Try and get some more people involved and really try and make it as good for everyone, us included, and you guys, the listener, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. I think fortnightly would be good. I guess we can then spend more time on each episode talking about the guests, you know, if you're picking up things in between episodes, maybe more than we're doing now, because I mean, the weekly burn, you know, fuck, it's easy to get overwhelmed. I mean, me listening to pods, when they bank up, I'm like, fuck, there's a lot to catch up on.
Yeah.
I can only imagine for everyone else out there who probably has more podcasts they listen to. So I think the fortnightly would be good. Hopefully we can bring out some good quality stuff and just get back to doing what we love, I think, and taking that pressure off of timelines and things and just working through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So what's been going on in life? You've been...
Well, actually, before we jump off the pod stuff, just while we're still talking about official pod shit, we wanted to say a really big thank you to everyone who has picked up a tee.
Oh, yes.
Tees have been ordered. They should be going out well, they should get here soon, and then we can get them going out to people. So I know that has been a little bit, I think like 2 weeks behind schedule there. Yep. But they'll be going out soon. So thank you very much for that. If you do still want one, we can still order more. So we might close them on Sunday this week. Fuck, if any stragglers haven't got one yet, get one before Sunday. We'll be able to add that to the order and get that out. So thank you very much, everyone who has picked that one up.
Yeah, thank you. It means a lot. It means a huge amount to us. So I jumped ahead.
That's all right.
So what's been going on? I know you've been gigging. Everyone.
Life's been crazy, man. Like, I mean, I know we talk about, we still talk a lot. Whether or not what that looks like, I think when we catch up on the pod and when we're talking shit in between, like recording and stuff, we probably talk more life stuff. At the moment, it's been more banter. Yep. So we probably haven't really been talking as much as we normally do. But life's been busy. I mean, we asked you before, like, what do you want to talk about? And you mentioned crippling depression. I think we feel it a bit sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, it's okay to talk about it.
Yeah, I think, look, life's been tough. It's no lie. I think, like you said, we ran ourselves quite thin. But in the last month, I mean, nothing's really changed. I mean, I'm still, like, work is work. I'm still, like, kind of pushing myself there. I'm back into footy.
Yeah, welcome back.
It's been the longest time I think I haven't really given a fuck about footy in a long time. But I'm glad to say that I'm back, and it feels good.
It is good to have someone to talk footy with and just kind of banter while games are going on, just talk rubbish basically.
Yeah. What about you? What's been going on with you, man?
Pretty much the same. Work's been work, been flat out, and yeah, just doing, looking after the kids. They just come back from school holiday, so it's back into the school routine now. And just kind of stepped away from Harvey's basketball coaching and stuff like that to give someone else a crack, because it's not an easy job.
You're not an X's and O's guy?
No.
You're not a babysitter, should I say?
No. And if those of you who are parents that are listening, I think you understand the quarrels that come with junior sport, even if they're 6 and 7.
I don't think I could coach kids that young. I'd love to coach. I reffed basketball, and I remember reffing those games. And they had the lower rings and shit. Is that the age level? Yep. And I remember it would be Saturday morning at like 8 a.m. You get down to the gym. You're going to ref this game. You've got parents yelling at you because they want their kids to have a go. Yeah. And all you're doing is running up and down the court. Who cares if they dribble it properly? It's just about having fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was hard enough to officiate as a 15-year-old ref, let alone a parent managing all those kids.
Yeah. And for the most part, like 90% of the kids are great. And it's just, it's managing those one or two kind of rotten eggs, if you will.
Your boys?
Yeah. And just kind of dealing with that. So that was kind of getting the best of me. So I stepped away from that, and that's been a huge relief.
That's good, man. We were talking about gigs before. What have you been to lately? I feel like we haven't actually spoken really about gigs much since New Bloom.
I haven't been to a gig since New Bloom.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. My first gig from after New Bloom was on Friday. So yeah, fuck. It's been a quiet month.
Yeah. There hasn't really been much popping up. And obviously for that week of New Bloom, I was pretty much gone. So
yeah,
kind of have to get my brownie points back up, and a few things are popping up now. So I'm looking forward to those in May and June.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I reflect back on the last 2 months, and I think we talk about burnout and things, but the last 2 months have been one of the craziest months I've had ever, I think, when it comes to music. And really the last 12 months, I mean, I've seen all of my favorite bands in the last 15 months.
Yeah. It's been insane.
My Chem, Bring Me, Touche, Story So Far, Neck Deep, like, you know, La Dispute, all these bands that we talk about every week, I've actually seen them all. And then when you add in Taylor Swift to that mix as well, who we know that, like, I love. And I actually want to pick your brain on a question when it comes to that in a minute. But obviously seeing Taylor Swift twice in Feb, and then doing the Taylor Gate one night. So three nights technically, I kind of was around. Then you go to the week of New Bloom with all the Touche shows, which were just, that was crazy that week. I mean, like, I think even looking back on it now, we went hard like all week.
I don't think I could ever do that again. I've never pitted that much. Like,
I've never pitted that much, but like, you know, driving down on the Sunday or the Monday, I can't remember the fuck it was. Well, Sunday, going to the gig, it was 40 degrees in Melbourne, staying on, like, sleeping on a couch for a week, going to Brisbane, all that shit. It was just crazy.
Great times, though. I wouldn't trade for anything right now.
No, absolutely not. But that week, and then this weekend, I just saw Bring Me the Horizon twice. Yeah, one of my favorite bands. I mean, I've got more tattoos of them on my body than any other band, which I thought was quite funny because, like, they're not my favorite, not my number one band, but that was just special, like really special, really great way to cap off those shows. And really just kind of like, it kind of comes now to a period where I don't have big shows like that for a hot minute. So it was just unreal.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome seeing like your photos and videos from Bring Me, because it kind of gave me that feeling that I probably got a bit of FOMO from that.
Yeah.
And from all reports, they're amazing. Like, they're never not, I think.
Well, I think I want to talk a little bit about it because, I mean, we talk a lot about metalcore, right? And I mean, let's just talk about, like, we talk about metalcore, we take the piss out of it a bit. I think just our tastes have probably evolved a bit.
Yep.
When it comes to that. And I think generic metalcore is probably, I guess, I mean, we could probably, in a nice way, out of our wheelhouse a bit now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the stuff that, but in saying that though, I still listen to a lot of metalcore adjacent things.
Yeah.
So I think about bands like Counterparts, like Bloom. Yeah, their new records are metalcore records, but they're melodic hardcore adjacent.
Yeah.
Or you think about bands like Alpha Wolf, who we like. They're probably more new metal throwdown adjacent, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think about other like metalcore-ish bands that we've had on the pod, like Glow. They all bring something a little bit different to just that generic metalcore sound that I think Bring Me made so popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and, you know, there's, how many times have someone come to me and said, Philip, why don't you like Bad Omens? They're just like Bring Me the Horizon. Well, that's not what I like about Bring Me the Horizon anymore, you know? Yeah. Like, I think this show, one thing I loved about this show and what I left this show thinking was, in the nicest way possible, I hope that was some of the last times I saw some of these old songs.
Yeah.
Because their new songs is the future. And we always talk about Bring Me the Horizon, how they innovate, how they move forward, how they bring the scene with them, really. Now, think about, like, what they were doing with Semper Eternal. Every other metalcore band tried to do that. Then they brought out That's a Spirit, and all these metalcore bands were like, we're going to go a bit soft. Then they did Ammo, threw fucking a spanner in the works. Now their new stuff is just something completely different, right?
It's and a combination of all those three albums, really.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even call That's a Spirit, like, even Semper Eternal is like almost a post-hardcore record. It's like a more screamo record, just a bit.
I think it's what I think it's what what metalcore came to be.
Yeah.
In a way, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, That's a Spirit's definitely post-hardcore. Like, that's not even metalcore in my opinion. Then you've got Ammo, which is like a alt pop synth fucking pop heavy pop. I don't even know what the fuck you'd call it. I mean, and then the newer stuff. And what I love about the new stuff is incorporates all these elements of heavy vocals, pop music, fucking all this like synth stuff, fucking everything, right? And I think seeing it over two nights, it really made me realize that all my favorite songs in hindsight, except for like one old song, it was all new songs.
Yeah.
And I know I'm talking a lot, but like we spoke, I think I briefly spoke to you about, or in a group chat or something about Diamonds Aren't Forever.
Mm.
They played that both nights. And I love Suicide Seasons, right? One of my favorite records of all time. But I hope they never play that again. Not because, and unless it's like a throwback show where they're playing that record in full, which I don't think they'll ever do. But you need to get fans to these shows who are going to know that. And it was honestly like they'd never played that song before in my life or in anyone's life, because there was probably 25 people deep of the pit from the barrier. who was just standing there.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where, I mean, like, I'm a big boy. I'm probably not a very aesthetically pleasing pitter when you look at me, like, bounce around. But I crushed some people trying to get to the front. And I'm pretty sure on the second night I got to the front and I was just looking around like, this sucks. Everyone's kind of getting annoyed that I'm around, that I'm screaming, that I'm jumping around. And I'm thinking, well, who are these people? Right. And I think it made me at the time, I was like, fuck these people, man. Like, this is Bring Me. This is the song that, or one of the songs that probably like took them to that next level.
Yeah.
With from that record. But then after a minute, I was like, but this is not who they're making music for anymore.
No, absolutely not. How old's that record? 2008?
I want to say like 17 years.
Yeah.
What year did it come out? Was it 2000? It can't have been 2008, would it? On my iTunes. 2008. I thought it came out earlier. So what's that? That's like 16 years old.
Yeah. So half these people, like, what, 4 or 5, maybe 8.
True. True. There were a lot of young people there. But yeah, like, it took me a second to, you know, and we talk about this with all fucking all bands, right? That the music they write now isn't for those people.
No.
And that's what I felt like with Diamonds. And so I kind of left that show. All my favorite songs other than that, that was a good one, but Shadow Moses from Semper Eternal,
mm-hmm.
incredible, right?
Yep.
But all the other songs I loved were new tracks. And I think it just made me realize that Bring Me's changed. I think the fans need to move on from the old stuff. And I understand people don't like the new stuff, and that's fine by me. Like, I don't think they're trying to make music for those people anymore.
Yeah.
And it was like a bit of it was a cathartic experience. I think I described it to someone, like, I got to get all this stuff out of my system, but I fully understand that they'll have a new album out next time they come. They're probably, they only played, I think, like 4, maybe 5 songs before the encore mm-hmm. that were like older songs.
Yeah.
Or not even, maybe 3. And like, I think it was fine, but I was happy with where it went and the direction they're going. And it was just such a great experience, such a great weekend. And I gave it my all, which I'm stoked with.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's a bit of an end of an era for them. So they might be closing off those older songs and maybe moving forward and leaving them behind.
Well, I think it was funny. Like when they played Good Things, it was the first time in a long time we'd seen them. They'd had an EP out, or they had the album, whatever you want to call post-human,
yep.
survival horror, album, EP, whatever. They had that out. They'd had like 3 or 4 new singles out. So they'd had a lot of new music to play. So I understood that it was going to be probably a bit more popular music from their catalog. It was a festival headliner, all that kind of shit. For this one, I expected some older songs. They played those older songs.
Yep.
But now that I've left, I think for once, and when I've seen a band like this, I probably understand that that's it.
Yeah.
And the new stuff's going to come, and I'm absolutely okay with that, because I think that, again, like, everything they do is to the highest level.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
So in between those two Bring Me shows, you went to another one, didn't you?
I also went to – well, sorry, I know I'm fucking talking a lot. Actually, no, we'll come back to that. I went to Simple Plan on Saturday as well. Fuck, this is going to be me just like rambling. Have you seen, sorry, podcasters, people listen. Have you watched the Star Wars Family Guy specials?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Where they've got like the Stormtrooper that's like, do you know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah.
That's how I feel right now. But like, bear with me, everyone. So I went to Simple Plan on Saturday, and incredible show. It was at the Horden Pavilion, which is probably a similar size to like, it's like a festival hall size.
Okay.
Sold out show. Incredible. Like, great, great, great show. Simple Plan were incredible. I know we'll get into it, but I did say that I think they're severely underrated, and we'll get to that soon. But they also brought out Boys Like Girls and We The Kings to support.
Yep.
And I loved those bands growing up. Like, those bands were so important to the music I was listening to growing up. And I was so disappointed by those two bands. Is that what you were getting at? Because I think I kind of talked to you about this.
Yeah, you kind of said they were a bit lackluster.
I messaged May as well because I know May went in Perth. And I was like, did they kind of suck for you? And she was like, yeah, they were disappointing.
Yep.
I think what I, and this is, look, I've been full of hot takes lately, whether or not they're right or wrong. but my take was, I think there's a reason why We the Kings and Boys Like Girls didn't go anywhere. Now, yes, I know they probably still play. I think they play the Sad Summer Fest every other year in the US. I think they play shows with like your May Day parades and things like that. But what I found really interesting was I think there's a reason why they're not as big as other bands like May Day Parade.
Okay.
Or you could argue maybe the story so far. Or I'm trying to think of like other emo bands from that era that were like similar.
Newfound Glory.
Oh, not even Newfound Glory. I'm talking more May Day. What are other bands like May Day?
Don't know.
Fuck. I suck. What's going on right now, Phil? Let me look them up. Let's see, look at like artists.
But
this is the future of the pod, people.
if I recall correctly, like, do they even have that much music out? Like, did they do anything?
They did, though. This is what's wild. Yeah. Okay. So we look at bands like All Time Low is probably a good one to compare it to. A Day to Remember, you could probably make an argument. These are bands that come up when I look at similar artists, right? I feel like they bank so much on nostalgia to drive their band forward.
Yeah.
That it takes away from the show. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, so We the Kings came out, so much energy. They opened with, what the fuck they opened with? They opened with a banger. The pre-chorus, in both of the pre-choruses for the opening song, instead of singing the fucking song and getting like the crowd, like singing it with you, he was like crowd calling the whole time. Be like, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Like the whole fucking pre-chorus, right?
Okay.
And then the chorus came in and it was like he was hardly even singing properly because he'd spent all his breath fucking crowd calling people to like get up and about. And it just took away from the whole song.
Wow.
And then We the Kings only played like 7 songs, they including a fucking cover.
What was the cover? Of
Wonderwall.
Oh, man. Oh, are they from the UK anyway?
No, they're American.
Oh, spew.
But it's fine. It was a good cover. But my thing is, right, they played 7 songs in like, I reckon, a 35-minute set because he fucking spoke like 2 minutes in between every song about like fucking absolute dribble. Disappointing, right? So I left that and I was like, he only played like 2 big songs, maybe 3. You could make an argument if you are a big fan.
Yeah.
And it was kind of shit.
Okay.
Then you looked at Boys Like Girls came on and they were like, we're too cool for anything. Hardly spoke to the crowd that much. Fucking all still in their like leather pants and leather jacket being like, I'm fucking the coolest from 2007. And again, like I could hardly hear the dude. It was almost like he was relying on the people in the crowd singing their songs.
Yeah, right.
Energy was low. I had fun because like I loved the songs, but it wasn't like impressive. And I honestly left the gig. If it wasn't for Simple Plan, I would have said it was a shit gig.
Okay.
Because I honestly didn't enjoy it. I ended up going to the side and sitting on the seats for Simple Plan.
Yep.
And I kind of regret it because Simple Plan looked like so much fun. Everyone was getting so into it. Pierre is a fucking great front man. They make big room pop punk and it's just like fun. And I think I just don't think they get enough credit, firstly. But secondly, it just made me realize how shit fucking Boys Like Girls and We the Kings are. And I love those bands growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know you posed this question on Saturday night saying they're so underrated. Did they sell that show out?
Yeah.
So, like, why are they underrated?
I think they're underrated because I think, well, firstly, I think if Boys Like Girls and We the Kings didn't go play that show, I think they would have not sold out that show because I've never seen opening sets at the Horden be that full for anyone. Like it was pretty much nearly full for the openers, right?
The whole time, yeah.
Yeah. So pretty much when people came, they came for the whole fucking show. So I think there's a part of that. I honestly reckon if you didn't get all those people go, like May is a great example. I was talking to May about it and I was like, how good was Simple Plan? And she was like, well, I don't really fuck with Simple Plan, but they were really good. Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't surprise me if maybe 40-30% of people in that room were in the same mindset.
Hmm.
My thing is that when you talk to people about pop punk bands, right? How many of them are going to bring up Story So Far? Ah, it was Story So Far. Fuck. Simple Plan.
Not many.
Probably none. No, because probably none.
They peaked, what, 2002?
Yeah, but then when you've got bands, and this is where it gets spicy, right? You've got bands like State Champs, who have been around for fucking, how long have they been around for? They've been around for a hot minute. And I think they're a good example. When you've got bands like State Champs, which, let me have a look, their first album.
Fuck. 2010.
So their first album came out in 2010. I guarantee you more people are talking about how good State Champs are when I, in my honest opinion, think State Champs are just as goofy as Simple Plan are in their new music. And I reckon, I honestly wouldn't say that State Champ's new record is 100 times better than Simple Plan's new record. And I just think that people give them a bad rap because, like you said, they peaked early. I think if people stuck with them, kept listening to them, they'd like them.
But like, yeah. But the thing is, you're asking, like, 2002 was their first album. The second album was 2004. Like, that's when I was in year 11. So that's 20 years ago. So you're banking on people being, again, with the bring me factor. Most of their fans have families and kids and stuff. They're not your age. They're probably my age and older.
So the demographic. A lot of young people at that show. Yeah. Look, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I think my whole take is that I think people need to give them more of a shot and not discount it. I saw a lot of comments when they announced the show that, like, who gives a fuck about Simple Plan? Well, I think people should give a fuck and just check them out because I think they're underrated.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to die on that hill, right? I'm not going to tell people, if you don't listen to Simple Plan, I'm fucking, you're dead to me. Because I get it, right? But I think pop punk fans don't give Simple Plan enough credit for being as good as they are. And to be honest with you, and this is going to be an even spicier take, Sum 41 haven't written good music for a fucking long time. And they get much more fucking love than Simple Plan do, when I think their middle records are just as shit as each other.
The middle records? Oh, After Chuck?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, probably.
Sum 41's new record, by the way, I did listen to it. Webby, shout out, because I know you've been on my ass about it. Good shit. I actually really did like that new record.
No, I haven't listened to it yet.
But like, really,
I'm... Simple Plan...
Yeah.
...is that Fall Out Boy came and just left them in the dust. All the Simple Plan fans would have jumped on Fall Out Boy and said, yeah, no one cares about Perfect and I'm just a kid. Like, let's write some songs about real feelings. Like Fall Out Boy did.
Yeah, look, like I said, I'm not going to die on this hill, right? But I just think they're underrated, and I don't think enough people are talking about them or giving them the respect.
Well, they're making bank. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, they still sold out the show. They're able to come here. Still, like...
I think they've sold out nearly every day. They're playing again tomorrow in Sydney. Which is crazy, like massive rooms, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's great, but yeah, like, I'm not going to die on that hill. I just did think they're underrated.
Okay.
Maybe I'm right or wrong. I don't give a fuck. Tell me I'm wrong. All the listeners, all the fucking boomer listeners out there, I know who you are. You're going to message me being like, Philip, that's a fucking horrible take. Guess what? Don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, you want to hear me? Yeah, let's talk about fucking Piss Token, because I got some thoughts.
Okay. Hit me.
This is, again, I've been on a fucking tear about talking shit. I'm going to get all my negativity out on this episode.
It's okay.
And then we're moving on.
It's not aimed at anyone.
It's not aimed at anyone.
I'll take
the... I want to preface, I really like Sleep Token. Had all their records before I sold them, because why wouldn't I fucking make money on that shit? Really enjoy them. Saw them play with North Lane. Incredible when they first came over here. Missed tickets to LR show. I really want to go. Obviously, this is coming on. But in this whole period, fuck, you simps out there who love Sleep Token are fucking ruining it for a lot of people.
Worship.
The whole worship thing, anything. But this is my thing, right? This is going to be real saucy. So let's just go from the state of events of what happened on this tour with Sleep Token. They announced their pop-up before Bring Me announced their pop-up. Absolutely fine. I'm all for bands making their fucking living. If international bands are going to come over here, I hope they make as much money as they fucking can, because I want those bands to keep coming back.
Yeah.
Pop-up's a great idea.
More pop-ups, I reckon.
I agree. But pop-ups, like, fuck, whatever. Taylor Swift, the GOAT, leading by example.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that. Sleep Token did announce the prices of their merch until... like the week of, or like the few days before, okay. Right? in between this all happening, Bring Me announced their pop-up store, right? How the fuck are Sleep Token selling their t-shirts for more than Bring Me the Horizon? How are they selling all their merch more than Bring Me the Horizon? Number one, that doesn't make any sense in my head.
Are they selling more though? Are they selling it out?
Do you know? Apparently the first day sold out. When I went on the Friday, they were like, yeah, we don't have three items or four items. We're missing out all these. So yeah, I think Sleep Token sold out pretty well. Yeah. But my thing is, right, okay, the ego on that. Number one, and I'll get, there's a big point I'm going to make here,
okay,
which might be fucking a horrible take. Maybe this is why the podcast is, we've had a break. Who knows? But they do that. And then secondly, their merch designs are pretty boring. I think Bring Me fucking blew it out of the water with their merch designs. Yes, I understand it's their aesthetic. And Sleep Token's all about fucking worship, the logo, all that bullshit. I get it, right?
Yeah.
But that just blew my mind. How can you sell merch more expensive than Bring Me at the pop-up? And then when I go to the show, same fucking pieces, selling them for the same price as Bring Me, because when you put them on the wall next to each other, you can't have one t-shirt for 60 and one for 70. So they're actually selling their t-shirts at the show cheaper than at the pop-up. That rubbed me up the wrong way. You're that joking. Really grinded. That grinded my gears, because I'm like, why would someone... And yes, I understand the designs were different, but I actually think the show merch designs were better than the pop-up designs.
Ah.
But anyways, that's a whole thing, right? So that's one part of it. Watching their show live, again, in this big room, they owned it. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, instrumentally, absolutely incredible. Amazing. What pissed me off during the show... was their fans do smell quite a bit. I'm going to say it. I'm sorry. Because as soon as their set finished, so many people vacated to the back of the room. It was wild. But anyways, the fucking guitarist was sitting down for like half the show.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, come on, guys. Like, you're playing on stage for 40 minutes. You're telling me you can't stand up and just play your instrument. You have to sit down and play it. If he was sitting down because it was like a vocal solo, and he wasn't playing guitar, great. I understand. You take a seat. I get that. But he's sitting there strumming like he's playing fucking Kumbaya at a bloody campfire. And I'm thinking, mate, what are you doing? Get up. You know,
the rhythm guitarist?
Both of them did it. Or was only one guitarist and a bass?
Oh, okay.
Anyways, that pissed me off. And then it got me thinking, right? And this is probably where I'm thinking way too much. I'm probably trying to pick a fight with fucking everyone at the moment. So shout out to all the people in my life sticking by me. You know who you are. It's Dave. I honestly find it weird that people fucking suck up this band's ass when they really don't do much for their fans. I honestly, they don't do nothing. They don't even say hello. It fucking blows my mind. Well, there's this no band.
There's no banter on the stage or anything.
No words, man. They just come in with their masks on and shit. I get it's the anonymity.
Yeah.
Anonymous of fucking whatever it is. I get there's the law of it all. But they don't even say like, hey, what's going on, Sydney? Yeah. Or what? See you later. Catch you later. It's great being here. Then they sell they price gouge their merch. They sit down during their set. I'm thinking to myself, how has this band gotten so big in this amount of time when they've done fuck all except for music, right? And this is where it gets spicy. This gets really spicy. How many times have you heard people at a live show be like, oh, they're great instrumentally, but there's no presence? Uh-huh. I love their recordings, but they don't articulate well live.
Yeah, yep.
That front man pisses me off. Blah, blah, blah. Like... where everyone's so quick to pick on every other thing for local bands and things like that.
Yeah.
But when this band comes here, doesn't fucking say hello, just fucking plays their music, prices their merch, ridiculous prices, fucks off, and everyone's sucking up to them being like, oh, worship, this is the best thing ever. It blew my mind this weekend, and I love Sleep Token. I was stoked seeing them live twice because I really like their music. But yeah.
Were they good?
Like, fantastic. Yeah, it's great. I think vocally it could be a bit louder. I think they're fucking cowards because they released those ugly ass looking masks and only the drummer and the guitarist wore the new ones. The singer still wore the old one because maybe I reckon his feelings got hurt because the mask's ugly as fuck. but like, they were great. They were really good. And like I said, I like Sleep Token And I keep listening to them. Like, I'm not going to stop. But I just think it's really fucking bizarre. People that simp them are just, like, been taken for a fucking ride.
Yeah.
Like, no band's that cool, bro. No band's, like, that cool. Not even Ollie Sykes was like, yeah, I'm going to be a fucking diva. He was, like, getting amongst it, talking, like, whatever.
He pulled that person out of the crowd in Melbourne. Did you see that?
He do it every show.
Oh, did he?
Dude, they had a guy in Sydney. So the first night in Sydney, they had this chick come up who didn't know the words. It was quite awkward. Mm. And she didn't really sing it or scream it. It was Antivist. It's an easy song to know the words to. But they had this guy who was like adamant to get on the stage. Ellie's like, yeah, bring him up here. Gets on stage, topless, fucking tatted, like on his face down to his fucking like belt. Grabs a mic and he's like, let's fucking go. Like, yeah. G'ing everyone up. And then he sung nearly better than Ollie.
Oh, wow.
And it turns out he's in a band in Sydney and they're supporting Sienna Skies on their tour in a few weeks.
Oh, nice.
It was fucking nuts, bro.
That's sick. That's the best advertisement you could do.
100%.
Yeah.
My rant's done, I think. But yeah, sorry, what do you think? Like, my rant's kind of done, but what do you think?
I don't quite understand it. And I'm with you. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, I like the last album. I can't remember what's it called.
Take Me to Eden.
Take Me to Eden. I think that's fine. It's good. I couldn't get into the one before it.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, what has this band done? What is the band doing for their fans? Like, there's no the fan service is like seeing them or them turning up, I guess.
I mean, I get the lore. The lore's kind of cool. I like how they're anonymous. Like, I think there's cool shit about it.
Yeah.
But like, as a fan base, I'm thinking, what, why?
Where's the fan service when you?
And I'm not knocking anyone who simps them and loves them, because I know the people in my life who really do simp them. I've been ragging on you, and I've even said to them, like, I've been taking the piss, but having a laugh. It just blows my mind.
It must be that old treat a mean, keep 'em keen mentality.
I get, yeah.
Keep 'em at a distance. Everyone loves mystery. And that's, I guess there's a lot of mystery around the band.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what draws people to it. And yeah, I'd be interested to see if they revealed their identities,
Well, they got leaked and all that shit. Like, someone leaked their identities because they were fucking, all that shit. Like, that was always going to happen eventually, right? People say, oh, it's privacy, this and that. When you fucking cultivate simps like this, in a fucking ethos and a law,
it's gonna go.
People are gonna fucking keep looking, bro, because they want more information.
Yeah,
it's like me telling you, "Hey, man, I've got a present in your house, but I'm not gonna tell you where it is." Yeah. You're just gonna sit there and just be like, "Yeah, cool." No, you're gonna fucking go look for it. It's like the tale as old as time, mate. Like, this isn't new information for humans.
No, but yeah, it's something that I've not seen like explode like this. We're good on them. Like, they're able to come out.
Great music. Incredible. Some of the best live bands I've seen.
Yeah.
But that's the end of me. I think that's the end of me ranting today. I'm looking at the lists.
You did have a question about Taylor Swift, and I will humor you and listen to it.
Oh, okay. This is a good one. So we love a ranking on this podcast, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot lately about my top five.
Your top five?
We've had top five artists, right? Or bands.
Okay.
And my top five bands have always been My Chemical Romance, Bring Me the Horizon, Neck Deep in the Story So Far, and The Cure, right? But the more and more I'm thinking is, like, do I need to start putting in my pop artists that I love into this ranking? Because when I think about all of it, Taylor Swift probably is in the top five. She's arguably one or two, you know, maybe three, because Bring Me and My Chem are quite high. But, like, what do you think? Because I've asked a few people and some of them have said, keep it bands. Other people have said, I think it should be in it.
Well, it's all music, isn't it? So at the end of the day, it's your favorite music.
Like, or there's multiple lists. So someone asked me, what's my favorite band? Yeah. Do I talk about that? And then...
But it doesn't have to be an absolute thing. It's something that can be fluent.
I'm keen to know, people, if you listen, this will be interested. Please hit me up because I want to know what you think, because I'm trying to figure out my list
and a band list.
I have favorite, like, a band list and then everything else.
What if your favorite artist is like City in Color? It's not technically not a band. Or like Bruce Springsteen, David Bowie. That's just because they're not a punk guitar band doesn't mean they should be excluded from your list.
So if someone said to you, what's your favorite bands, you think, or favorite artists,
yep,
or favorite bands, you'd say include
Neil Taylor. Diamond, number one.
That's a lie.
Yeah, I know. But like, where do you put Fred? Why doesn't Fred stand?
This is my thing. This is I agree.
You can have, I think you can have an all time list, your all time big hitters, and your current list. I don't think you should just separate anyone because you're actually, you're actually lessening the thought that you have on these pop artists because you've been, you're under the impression that they're lesser or that they can't compare to Britney. Yeah. When, like, if you're thinking what's the most popular artist you listen to, it's clearly Taylor Swift. It's not Britney, their eyes. It's not like him. It's Taylor Swift.
It's neither of them. It's fucking Fred again.
It's Fred and Taylor, honestly.
Yeah.
But, like, I think you just have one list. And it can change. Like,
yeah. But actually, shout out Taylor Swift, new record on Friday. Get excited, people.
Yo. I could not be less enthused.
You pre-ordered it, mate. You can't tell me that.
Yeah, for my wife.
It still hasn't moved since last Thursday, so it's not coming by Friday.
No, that's, it's right. Not. I'm sad.
I'm a bit sad. I'm a bit sad about it too.
She's like, they would never let that arrive early. It's Taylor Swift. I'm like, who's going to leak the audio from a record? Who's got the time to record that? Half of the Taylor
you underestimate. Fans. Yeah, you underestimate Swifties, mate.
No, they don't even have turntables. They didn't even know the difference between 33 and 45 RPM.
I'll be honest with you, I reckon you could ask 70% of the metalcore community and they'd also not understand the difference.
Because they'll run at 33 because they're slow.
Yep.
All right, talking about music.
Fuck yeah. If you're still listening, if you're still listening, I appreciate you putting up with my absolute dribble. Poor Dave has been dealing with this plus fucking worse.
It's all good. Let's get it out.
It's out in the open and I feel better about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you guys think I'm a fucking idiot, just tell me. I want to hear it. I need to be told.
But yeah, keep your list to one list. You don't need two. Anyway.
Coming from the guy who has a whole different Plex server just for Screamo, I don't want to fucking hear it.
Yeah. This is my fact. It just keeps it to the side. So I know if I want to listen to it, it's easy to find.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff to try and remember. But what have you been listening to?
So, what I've been listening to is... Are we talking about new music or are we talking about just general?
I've got some new stuff, but what's
okay, I'll talk about some new stuff. So one thing I've really loved lately, Last Dinosaurs. I know we spoke about them briefly last year. They're a band that I've loved for fucking as long as I can remember. They've done these companion EP albums, and they released part two of that with the vinyl drop last week or the week before. And it is like great indie pop. Like, it's fantastic. So I've been listening to them a lot. I've been smashing Sabrina Carpenter since the Taylor concert. I've just fallen in love with her. The new Bloom record's been getting a heap of play.
Yep.
Touche Amore's been getting a heap of play after the new Bloom week, and then Fred again as well. I can't stop. I won't stop. It's just, I'm sad and it makes me feel things.
Absolutely. I'm also on that Fred again train. I've not stopped listening to Lament. Yeah. Since
I haven't stopped listening to Flowers. Stage four.
If we were to do a Fast Five now, it'd be very different to the previous one that we did.
Same, bro. Can I just say, how crazy was it when we went into that week? I think both of our favorite records were Is Survived By.
Yep.
I loved Lament. You loved Stage Four. And I almost think we might have done a 180.
We've done a flip, yeah, for sure. I didn't love Lament. Seeing Limelight Live.
It's one of the best songs ever, hey?
Yeah, it's probably my number one song by then.
Awesome.
So good.
I think Reminders has just done things to me.
Yeah, but I'll Be Your Host, like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even The Closer.
Oh, it's brilliant. I like, you know what I love about The Closer of Lament? The nod backs to the previous records.
Yeah.
And like when he's talking about Stage Four and I wrote this record and this is what you thought, I was like, bro, like,
So good. And they're in the studio now, so I'm keen as to kind of see what comes from that.
Yeah.
I've been still on my Screamo stuff. So I've actually found through Jeremy's pod, listening to the episode with Shogun, the singer from Royal Headache. I'm not sure if you're aware of them.
No.
Sydney band from 2000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's in a few other bands. I think I shared their EP. Anyway, he was like in a Sydney Screamo band in the 90s called Dot Dot Dot. And he was talking about other band called Conation. And I've been smashing that. So it's called The Dichotomy of Earth and the Human Race. Oof. It's really cool, like Ocker Screamo, if you're into that. Cool. Also, our friend of the show, Chuck, he shared that his cousin is a singer in a
Screamo. Oh, that's a sick band too. What are they called again?
Othiel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will Be Our Home.
That's how I kind of like Screamo post-hardcore stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really on the post-hardcore side of it, which is really sick. It's a little bit more spoken word, which is cool. Along with like the Basque record, Pain Without Hope of Feeling. And Frail Body's recent record, which is absolutely phenomenal. I've still been smashing Alkaline Trio's latest one. I really want to grab that on vinyl eventually.
Yeah.
It's just so expensive. Like, it starts at like $65. And
yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, it's not really the price I'm kind of looking at. And then...
Where you go?
And then, obviously, last week, Thursday just dropped a song and sent me into like this whirlwind that I've...
All right, take the floor, Dave. This is your time.
Been 13 years since their last music. They've actually... I thought they were more DIY than what they actually are, but this is their first actual DIY track
right.
in 25 years. So they must have jumped on a label when they first started. And it's just incredible to have some new music. There's no, from what I can understand, the research that I've done, that they're just going to just record and release some singles whenever they feel inspired.
Well, I think they did the vital for this single, right? So I don't think they would have done that if they were thinking there's like more to come.
Yeah. Well, in the description, because I updated the bio in Spotify.
Yeah.
They said that they're going to be just dropping songs whenever they're ready. So we might get some more 12-inch singles, maybe a bit of a comp or something. But super excited. Love the song. Love the breakdown at the end and the gang vocals. Probably a little bit clean for my liking. I think it's like very produced, I guess you could say.
It might be my favorite song since War, to be honest.
Really?
I know we've spoken a bit over the last few weeks. I've been giving you an absolute grilling. Not by anything, in light of banter. Well, it's been personal, but I actually don't believe anything I'm really saying.
Yeah. Well, you say it enough that the people you're abusing tend to believe it.
Look, if you want to agree that they're mediocre, then that's on you.
They're not.
No, they're not. They're actually great. I think this song, I loved it. It kind of reminded me of, and I can only imagine how you, it's how I felt listening to the Mike Hem song.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm assuming you would have felt a similar way because it was like this different, it was a bit different.
Yeah.
It was produced a bit differently to their other music, from my opinion, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And I actually think like it was a lot heavier than what I was expecting it to be.
Mm.
And I don't mean that just vocally. I mean like instrumentally, it was like the second half of the track so good.
Yeah. I listened to it 16 times straight. Like,
nice.
I just sat on the couch and the kids were like watching TV or whatever. And I just like, it was just on repeat for like an hour. And I don't think I've ever done that for a song.
It's your favorite band, right? Yeah. Are you number one?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Well, it can be now because I keep it active bands.
Well, this is my thing, right? So this is the funny thing. So I always say Mike Hem is my number one band. And I was talking to people at work about this. Bring Me technically kind of are my number one favorite band because they've been active my whole 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Mike Hem died for fucking 10 years. Yeah. So,
That's where like Touché kind of takes number one for me.
Yep.
On that. And then like Alexis on Fire up there, but they kind of disappeared for like that 11-year period. So.
Well, you know what it's like, actually? This is spicy. It's like Letterboxd top four. Mm-hmm. These are movies, the movies I have up there are legacy movies that I don't necessarily watch all the time, but I know if someone asks me, what's your favorite movies? I'll tell them. And that's how I've always approached my lists, because The Cure has been in my top five for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
That's just because that's a band that I remember falling in love with as a kid because they were my dad's favorite band. So when I was like 6, 7, getting into music, you know, you put on a Cure song, I'd sing you front to back.
Yeah.
So although I don't listen to The Cure like every day, I probably listen to them once every few months, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I've always put them in my top five, but maybe I have to rethink that.
Yeah. Like if you were to ask me what your favorite band is or your favorite artist, it'd be top three would be Freddie Anne, Taylor Swift, Bloom.
Yeah. And that's probably right. That's probably the three I listen to the most.
Yeah. And the three we talk about the most probably as well.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And there's like, bring me there, but it's kind of really hard to kind of let go of those. And you feel bad for leaving one of those nostalgia bands out of a list.
Yeah. A few other music I want to talk about. So friends of the podcast, Saving Face and Keepsake released The Ghost of a Split digitally last week. So good hearing those songs again. Just awesome. Obviously we had our copy, our vinyl copy of that. So that's going to be coming soon. I haven't had an update on that recently, but that's going to be sweet. Go check out those tracks. It absolutely is chef's kiss.
Yeah, that's a great split.
I think nearly the best songs from both bands, nearly to this point.
I think so. Big step forward for both, and
Keepsake, fuck me, man. They just fucking snapped on that record.
Yeah, it's been worth the wait for sure.
So and they obviously announced a tour. They're doing Canberra, Wollongong, Sydney, Newcastle, Adelaide, Melbourne. Go and check it. Go and get a ticket. You know, we talk all about festivals being cancelled and things like that. Oh, that's a spicy one we could get into today. Maybe for another day.
Maybe next week.
We talk about, but go get a ticket. Some great bands on that lineup. Supports aren't announced yet, but trust me, they will be great. And for those Wollongong hardcore peeps, Break a Leg doing a reunion show at the tennis club there, and the gong is going to be sick. So get amongst it. Go buy a ticket. I'll be at the shows. You'll be at Melbourne.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be a time.
I know the highlight for me is gigs coming back to tennis clubs and bowls clubs.
RSLs. Youth centers.
Yeah.
I want them. Yeah. Actually, there's been this really cool thing. I've got to look into it. Like, there's this company, I think they're called Your Local in New South Wales. They've been doing a bunch of like all ages shows at their community centers. I think they've done the gong. They've done Newcastle. They're doing Western Sydney for May the 4th. Like, they're doing some cool shit. So I actually got to look into it, because nothing quite as good as a youth center show.
Yeah.
Maybe not as a full-grown adult, actually. That might be weird, but you know what I mean? Like,
no, the vibes are still there. I think there's got to be a place for all ages music, and it's been a bit of a hole lately from what I can understand. So,
and as much as it's all about all ages people going, it's all about the over ages too, like fostering that community, right? They're not going to keep doing all ages shows at these halls. And you're like, I don't want to go because I can't get a fucking beer. Like, just go to the fucking show.
Yeah.
Foster that. They'll keep putting them on. The lineups will get better. Bands will get better.
Bring a friend, and they'll bring a friend, and then they'll be packed out before you know it.
Yeah. Sorry, I also want to talk about a few other things. Alpha Wolf, Half Living Things.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Let's just go rapid fire.
It's good. Second half is great, carries the first half.
Second half is album of the year nearly.
Yeah, it is relentless. I haven't really given it a go since. I've got to spin it now that I've got it on wax. Really enjoyed the second half. I think the first half is going to be a bit of a slow burn. Obviously, a couple of singles on the first half there. So keen as to kind of dig into more. I'm obviously late to the party with them, so kind of got into them like 18 months ago. Want to get to the Chelsea Heights show if I can.
Yeah.
Because I still haven't seen them live. And they were Prada's playing that one as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't even know they played Chelsea Heights. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was just instead of making a bigger venue or expanding the venue, they just put on another show. Sick. So that would be sick, because after I listened to that the first couple of times, it actually went straight into their latest album, Salt. Devil Wears Prada's last
album. Oh, Devil Wears Prada, yeah.
And I get a few tracks into that, and it's
a good album.
It's pretty decent, yeah.
I think because they were releasing singles quite early for that.
Yeah.
And so I think they did Salt and Watchtower.
Yep.
Were the two singles, and those singles, like,
yeah, the opener on that record is huge. So yeah. I'm keen to listen to that a little bit more because there's bits and bobs that I enjoy of them at times.
Yeah, I loved it. I think I understand what they were doing at the start of the record. I think I need more time with it. I'm sure I'll fall more in love with it because I do love this band. Sucks to Suck. It might still be one of my favorite songs. like, it's so cool. And I love that kind of whole new metal vibe. But yeah, I think it's very good, very serviceable. It was always going to be hard to follow up A Quiet Place to Die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did it quite well.
Yeah. They've been around a while. They're doing great things. Like, that show at Revs was really cool.
Oh, love that.
They're just tour. Like, they just...
Yeah, they're hardworking.
Yeah, they bust their ass.
Two more records really quickly I want to talk about.
Yep.
Adola, Eviscerate, the trilogy, or the third part of their run of records they're doing in this kind of story. Wait, no. This is part number two, and they're releasing a part two. Oh, fuck, whatever. I'm all over the show.
What do you mean?
So they recorded a double album.
Oh, okay.
So there'll be another one coming out rather later this year or early next year.
Oh, cool. So The Architect is number one?
I think so, yeah. I think so. There was like a, yeah.
I could hear some themes through it. So yeah. I did listen to it yesterday.
Whoa, what did you think? Because I love this record.
It just, it doesn't stop.
I think this shits on The Architect. And I know this is a hot take for a record that's only been out for like a week or 2 weeks. But fuck me. I think The Architect has probably better songs.
Yeah.
But doesn't have as many.
Yeah. I think... Like, obviously, The Architect was my introduction to Idola.
And probably Swancore too.
Sorry?
Probably Swancore as well.
Probably Swancore a little bit. And I had a few more, like, oh, fuck moments with that record where I was just like, all right, they're doing this now. They're doing, yeah. So, yeah, Eviscerate was really good.
Love it. So go check that out. Other ones for my pop homies out there. Just a quick shout out, Benson Boone, Fireworks and Rollerblades. Go and listen to that record. I can't stress enough how good it is. Old fashioned, just like straight up pop record. It's really good. Go check it out.
Do I have to listen to it too?
No, I don't think you'll like it.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll offer you some pop, but I don't think this is pop you'll like.
Okay. Thank you.
I know we didn't put it in the notes, but should we talk about some gigs that have been announced recently that we're stoked about?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So we mentioned the Saving Face Keepsake joint tour.
Yep.
Going to be absolutely sick. But what else are you? What else has come out lately that you're kind of keen on?
I have a ticket to the Luca Brasi show. I know you.
No, you spent like you took out like a personal loan to get that ticket.
My mate got me the ticket, and yeah, so that's been a talking point while we're on New Bloomfest because it's $70 for those two bands. So.
How much was New Bloom? 100.
100, yeah.
How? How does that make sense?
I don't know.
You're a band from Tasmania. You played in a fucking paddock for half your life. Like, it's 80, $70, fuck.
I think the last time you saw them, it was like 60, so 50
Not me.
60. When was the last time you saw them?
No, it was 60 was for the acoustic tour that they went to, that I think some we spoke to on New Bloom went. Last time I saw them, they played at 170 Russell for like $40.
Oh, really? I don't think this was pre-COVID though. You get 170 Russell less than 60 now.
No,
it's at the
not.
Forum. No, it's not. It's at Northcote Social Theatre, whatever it's called.
I really want to go see a gig there.
It was really cool. That's where I saw Thrice, and Thrice was more expensive than that.
Were they Thrice as nice?
Yeah, they were. So I got a ticket to that. I also want to see, I double booked, so Botch is also on that night with Diploid.
Fuck, is that the same night?
Yeah. So I already had the Luca Brasi ticket before that got announced, but they've got a Saturday night show. I know what I'd be picking, bro. So I need to... The Saturday night show is that next day.
Yeah.
So 170 Russell there. I'm keen as for the Cave-In, The Ocean, and LLNN in June.
Yeah.
And you've really put me on the spot here because I haven't really...
You don't have to go, oh, I can talk as well.
That's pretty much it for me that I can think of off the top of my head.
I'm more talking about gigs that have been announced, so not necessarily going to. So today, today that we're recording, the Tuesday...
Oh, yeah.
Trophy Eye has announced an Aussie tour with Boston Manor and Towns.
Yep.
Which is awesome. I mean, Towns, friend of the pod, they deserve a tour like this, I think. Yeah. It's quite big. They're also doing Between You and Me's run, which I think is quite big. And all of a sudden, they're going to capture fucking a few different niche pockets of the scene that I think a lot of people are going to be like, fuck, this band's actually pretty good. Jackson today, literally before we got on this pod, said, fuck, Towns are good. And we're like, we've been telling you, bro.
Yeah. Did you like the new song? I thought it was sick.
Birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. One thing I really want to shout out, which I think is absolutely hilarious, and sorry, May, I hate to do this, but on the 17th of June, 2023, John Floriani tweets, Perth, I'm fucking serious. If this show doesn't sell out, we're never coming back. And the next time you comment no Perth, I'm blocking your ass. And I hate to say it, no Perth tour, no Perth date on this fucking tour. It's
brutal. She went, so you can't blame her.
No, I'm not blaming her, but like, how the fuck can Perth sell out Hot Mulligan tour? But can't sell out Trophy Eyes. Fucking get amongst it. Anyways, that got announced. I think in between last time we recorded, this is not new news to anyone, but La Dispute, Rooms of the House, 10-year show.
Yes.
I'm almost more excited for this show than the Wildlife show.
Yeah, it's their best album.
Yeah, we agree. That's good. You're not going to be able to make it, are you?
I don't think so.
Is it the cost or is it the leave?
It's the leave.
Damn.
I can't be that selfish.
No, you can't be that selfish, you bastard. Technically, you could just do a FIFO, and it's just like you go into a normal gig.
Yeah, but it's a Saturday night, so Lawrence will have to get the day off.
That's rough.
Yeah. I thought about lots of things.
Some other shows that have been announced that I think I'm going to in the near future. What do we have on my list? Svalbard, whatever they're fucking... Yep. I don't know how to say it properly. I'm really keen for that show in May. Look, the Sydney lineup isn't as good as the Brisbane lineup because Blind Girls are like one of the best bands ever. Yeah. But really keen for that. What else have I got coming up? For the Pop Homies... I've got Alexia. She's an Aussie local pop artist. Awesome. Playing in June. Also got, for the pop punk homies in Sydney, Bellwether, Down and Out and Quarterform are playing in a few weeks. Mm. Just a bunch of gigs going on. I think the Vilify show is coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, fuck, you know what got announced that we haven't spoken about? Did you see the new Finding Better Health show?
No.
Finding Better Health are playing this cheap as fuck gig in Sydney. With Hugs, who I know I've spoken to you about.
Yeah.
Resident are playing it, I'm pretty sure. Future Heaven are playing it. And Smile Lines, $10 at the Chippo. So I'll be going to that gig, and I hope everyone in Sydney goes to that gig because there are some good fucking bands on that lineup.
Absolutely. They need the love.
That's the gigs.
Lots of gigs.
Fuck, we've already been talking for an hour.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have.
Fucking sorry. Sorry, everyone. I had to get it off my chest.
So,
do you want to smash through some records?
Yeah, let's talk about records. All right, so I'll start. I've had a bit of stuff come in since New Bloom. So I got Bloom, Maybe Another Life. I got the Insomnia with Blue Splatter that came out real nice.
Real nice.
From the Grass Girl store.
Yeah.
I got Fugazi Repeater, which is on Clear Blue vinyl. Been looking out for that for ages. Also got Mac Miller's NPR Tiny Desk.
Very concert. Nice.
I undernied, and you know, Phil, for almost 2 months about whether I should buy it or not. And then Easter, it was 30% off at Artist First, so I saved a fair bit on that.
Nice.
And then I had a Discogs order come in, so it was Refuse Songs to Fan the Flames of Discontent.
Who?
Now, this is going to be hot take. This is probably their best album.
Who?
Refused.
Never heard of them.
They play the song that's in the intro of The Bear, the one with the guitars.
For anyone noticing, like, I'm referencing Twitter discourse that's been going on the last month about people being like, what is that record? I haven't even listened to that record. I'm sorry, Dave.
It's fine.
But I know that it's fucking highly regarded. These people are like, what's that?
People are like, why is that that highly regarded? So a lot of people trashing it.
I know. You know why?
Because it's a fun thing to do.
Worship.
Well, if you listen to that, there's a bit of no, there's not a bit of Sleep Token in it. Also got Frail Body, Artificial Bouquet, Casey's How to Disappear, with Alpha Wolf's Half Living Things. Then I got Glassjaw's latest record, Material Control from Nick, friend of the pod, and a couple more. Knock Loose's A Tear in the Fabric of Life, finally. Yeah, had a lot of opportunities to get that. And then lastly, today I got Ben Stewart's record, Pushing Daylight.
You got two copies of that, right?
No.
Fuck off.
I sent yours back.
Fuck off.
You'll get yours when the dispute in Gaza's over.
Well, that's spicy. We're not going near there today. No, we'll stick to worship talk, thank you.
Yeah.
What have I had come in lately? So I had shout out Alex Bonner, Spider-Man 2 video game soundtrack. Got that come through, the new Alpha Wolf record. Finally did a bit of a bamboozled on you. Finally got a copy of The Bright Side.
Oh yeah.
Break Even. Which I'm so stoked about. Thank you for the assist on that. As soon as you shared it, I was like, finances are tight. I'm going to do the PayPal via bank. And I fucking sold some records that afternoon, made it work. So fucking stoked on that.
The thing is with Discogs, the terms are you have like 2 weeks to pay, or like 5 days to pay.
Yeah.
So like you can just put the order in, message the seller and say, and sort it out. Anyway.
Ariana Grande's Eternal Sunshine, which is an album that I'm really loving at the moment. I picked that up recently. I got the Bloom VC delivered, including the cheeky JB variant. They didn't advertise anywhere. Mm. That came this week, so I was really stoked with that. What else have I actually had come in? Let me sort this by date added. I should have been more prepared. I think they're the main things I've really had come in. Obviously picked up the Blind Girls records at New Bloom. Other than that, that's kind of it. I've actually sold so many records lately. I'm actually really proud of myself. I'm actually only at 820 now.
Mm, nice.
I was like pushing 860 at one point. So buy my stuff.
Do it. My incoming list is quite small now.
It actually feels so good to know that there's not that burden of vinyl coming in, hanging over my head and guilting me.
Yeah.
A
couple of things. I got one or two things at your house. And some coming in for Com Gateway, and the rest of the stuff is pre-orders.
Yeah.
It's good to have that kind of feeling of being on top of it.
Speaking of pre-orders, actually, and I don't want to go back to Bring Me Talk, but they kind of soft launched their new era into their record. They wiped their Instagram, put up some reels. I reckon something's coming soon. So, in the reels they posted, if you go really slowly, it looks like August is the date. So we might get the Bring Me record in a few months. So I'm stoked.
Interesting.
This has flown by. Our first episode in like a month has flown.
There's been a bit to talk about, some
hot opinions.
Takes, some opinions.
Don't even get like, look, that hot take about festivals and local gigs. We'll save that for another day because that is spicy.
Yeah, that needs to simmer for a bit.
I think that needs someone on the pod to break it down because we're just a echo chamber of me talking at you and you saying things. And I'm like, I can talk louder.
That's true. Well, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I just want to say thank you to everyone who's listened today or ever. You know, like when we say we're going to call it a day, not that anyone really gives a fuck, but like it was a real thing. I think we both went back and forth on it a few times. And even though, the people that like, I'm just glad that we're still doing this. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who has listened so far. We really do appreciate it. And let's see how we go.
Yeah, I'm really appreciative too. Thank you for everyone who's come back. If you've gotten this far through the episode, that was a conversation I didn't really want to have, but I knew we needed to have it. So,
yeah. Which one, the sleep token one or the the future of the pod one?
Both. Well, the future of the pod one mainly because the things that you don't want to verbalize sometimes, and being vulnerable is hard, and hats off to you. Feel like pretty honest with each other and not too hard. And
I mean, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Like, that's no lie. I think we've had some pretty honest convos. So I think it's been good.
Yeah.
If anything, I think it's great that we've got a bit of a level playing field now. We'll see where it goes.
Absolutely. So
actually, one more thing. I got blocked for the first time since we last recorded.
Yeah.
For nothing. If you took it all the fucking banter I've had that's taken it too far, this isn't even on the scale.
Yeah.
So I know you're not listening, but if you are listening, you're a fuckwit. You're a fuckwit. So, sucked in, cunt.
Yeah. That was a ballsy move. That was a Vex move that he pulled.
Vex move? No, it's like, that's like a George Pell move, bro.
No, it's a Vex move. He was self-promoting over the, like, Lost Profits being cancelled.
Whoa. You got to put a beep over that. We don't want to get fucking triggered by Apple. They're going to be like, yo, they said the words. Let's cancel. Beep Voldemort. It.
You self-promoted over Voldemort's bad doings like Vex did when those...
$5.36 though, bro. $5. Anyways, that's for another fucking day.
Talk them down to a dollar.
Oh, fuck me, man. The kids need that $5.36. I never would have guessed. Do you want to kick off the outro?
Yeah.
Let's get this done.
Thanks everyone for listening. Please don't forget to follow, subscribe, and leave a rating and review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Help the show a lot. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at press.con.pod on both platforms.
As always, we love the feedback and conversations generated by our topics, and we want to hear from you. I know I've had some spicy ones today. Get in my DMs and tell me I've got no fucking idea. I absolutely love the discourse and the banter. So, yeah, we want to hear from you.
Answer Phil's questions. Tell him he sucks.
I fucking suck, man. Fred again. Like, people have been telling me. They're like, Philip, why do you listen to Fred? He's not that good. And I'm like, well, you're just not sad enough.
Exactly.
Must be nice. But anyways. Must be nice,
yeah. Why can't you just be happy? That's what I get told.
Oh, fuck. Like,
no.
I'll do it. I'm happy. I'll do it.
Double dare me.
Oh, that's funny shit. All right. Let's play a song.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. You'll hear it soon. But we'll see you in a few weeks, maybe. Who knows?
See you next time.
I hope you have fun.
Waiting to watch me breathe. Get your head from out of my ass. Got me feeling like a human centipede. Just let me breathe. Stay the fuck away from me. I don't really want me. Am I on in a minute? So tell all your friends. Just let me breathe.
Cool.